As you find your seats again, turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs, the 31st chapter. If you know anything about the book of Proverbs, you probably already know where this is. We're continuing our series on the family. We've dealt with the men somewhat. We have three primary jobs that we're supposed to do, guys. Our number one job is to love her. That is exactly right. Even as Christ loved the church and gave it. Once that falls into place, guys, the rest of it becomes very easy. It really does. Then we are to three L's. Lead her, right? We are to lead her. And there's something that we remember about a leader. A leader, by definition, must always. I taught you really well, didn't I? Must always go first, right? By definition. A leader must always go first. You don't lead from behind. That's not called leading. That's called following. Hello? And so if you're going to lead, you have to be out in front. You have to be the first one to pray and the first one to suggest going to church and reading our Bibles. And that's you're leading. And so we are a lover of her. We are a leader of her. And then we are, 1 Peter chapter 3, to learn about her, to dwell with her according to knowledge, and to spend our life finding out what she needs, what her insecurities are, what her talents and abilities are that she can use within our home, etc. That's our job. And to learn and learn and learn and learn and to be able then to help her to achieve all that God has called her to do. Now we get over to Proverbs chapter 31 with the ladies. Now, of course, ladies, we talked about this real quickly just as an aside, all right? If he's going to love you, then you need to be lovable. If he's going to lead you, then you need to be leadable. And if he's going to learn about you, we made up a word, you need to be learnable, right? You need to open up and let him know. Well, Proverbs chapter 31 is going to give you a lot of things. Listen up. I'm going to give it to you quickly because I know that we're pushing time. I'll get done. In this, now you're going to stop me when you find some of these, all right? But in this, we're going to find out that this woman is hardworking, not demanding, good with money, frugal, cares for her family, has a good reputation, business-minded, community-minded, uses her time, talent, and treasure wisely for her family, has good shopping habits, cares for others, has a good work ethic, has good homemaking skills, knows how to cook, has a good attitude toward authority. Are you tired yet? We're going to go through Proverbs chapter 31, and I want to show you something about this woman who is, by God's definition, godly. In verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous, godly woman? For her price is far above rubies." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us tonight to see your attitude toward this woman, your expectation of this woman. I pray that you would help the young ladies represented here tonight to embrace the virtuous, godly woman that you set forth. Help every married woman here to make it a goal, a mark that she would press toward to become this virtuous, godly woman. And I just ask that you would work dynamically tonight in each of our lives. And Father, we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, listen up, teenagers, college students. Let me just throw this out there real quickly. If you want a godly man, then what do you think would be the best piece of advice I could give you? Be a godly woman. There's nothing more attractive to a godly man than a godly woman. Can I go the other direction, guys? If you want a godly woman, be a godly man. There's nothing more attractive to a godly man than a godly woman. That's why Peter talks about, you know, it's not the focus on the outside. Not that there's not a command in Peter that you can't look nice. You know, it does not say that you can't wear makeup and fix your hair. And that's been mispreached for years, and that's not the case. But it does say that if you think that's the way you're going to get out of life what you want, you're mistaken. What you should focus on is that inward beauty, that meek and quiet spirit. I say often this when we get to this chapter. We've gone over this chapter a few times over the years, and I say this often about this. It's an amazing thing to me that God never looked at a woman and said, "It is not good that she should be alone. I'm going to give her a helper." God didn't say that about a woman. But God looked at us guys and said, "It is not good that he should be alone. I'm going to give him a helper because that's what we needed. Now, having said that, ladies, listen up. That in mind, you know why you were made? To be our helper. That's where you find your great fulfillment, is stepping alongside of a man and doing what God made you to do. And it fits wonderfully together when we do this God's way. So we're going to look at this virtuous woman, and I'm going to challenge us with this. Boy, I tell you guys, when you get done, you're going to be shocked, perhaps, but you're also going to be tired because she is going to run circles around us. Look at verse 11. We're going to kind of walk through the verses. I'm going to try to get through the entire chapter in about 25 minutes, so hang on tight. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Okay, that sounds like a great verse. What's that mean? Help me. Okay. Okay. What does it mean that he shall have no need of spoil? Okay, now I'm aware that that word spoil in the Old Testament is talking about, like, we don't have to go get treasure from some other place, all right? That is part of what it's talking about here. He has no need of going and finding his treasure someplace else. The spoil would be when they would take over and they would attack a city and they would just, you know, they would take over that city. Then the stuff, the loot, the booty was the spoil. Booty is the right word there. It's the, okay. I know it's used differently today, but that's still the right word. So when they would take that, it would, that way that spoil. So it is saying literally that he doesn't have to go someplace else. He doesn't have to go someplace else to find that treasure. But it also has, with its same connotation, is that he doesn't have to step in and constantly be winning her over. He has no need of spoil because he safely trusts in her. So, guys, it's this way. Should you bring her flowers? Yes. Hello. Yes. Yes. Let me be the one to say yes. Should you have to bring her flowers? No. Do you get the idea? The heart of his husband doth safely trust in her. He doesn't have to do this, ladies. If you make it to where he has to be constantly winning your love, you're missing it. You're missing this virtuous woman. He safely trusts in this woman, and he has no need to spoil. He also has no need to look someplace else. Let's keep going with verse 12. It says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Of course, Pastor John. Of course she will. She's his wife. Help me here. Have you ever known a wife that didn't always do good to her husband? Don't say anything. Don't point. Don't just think about it for a minute. You know, this is not a reality. There's a reason why we do marriage counseling. You understand? And it's not just always the woman, all right? But there's a reason why marriage counseling is so prevalent in our churches. Because this is not the given. It should be. When two people who are seeking to be godly are coming together, it becomes that given. But it's not always. So ladies, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This is what that virtuous woman looks like. Verse 13 says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh, what is it, ladies? Willingly with her hands. Basically, this woman is not lazy. I'm not trying to be mean about it, but this is what God is literally saying. She works willingly, and she seeks for it. She finds things to do. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. This is what this virtuous woman does. By the way, if you have a teenage son that's still looking for a honey, then you need to get this verse or get this passage of scripture down in their mind. They ought to memorize it. Girls, if you're still, you know, out there growing up in the Lord, then this is a verse, these are passages, I'm sorry, you should memorize. Look at verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. Not talking about her size. She is like the merchant ships. I'm just letting you know. It's not. She's like the merchant ships. What does she do? She brings her food from afar. Hear me out. I understand. But what does this stuff mean to us in 21st century Christianity? What does this mean that she brings her food from afar? What's she doing? Okay, she is maintaining, that's the bottom line, she's maintaining the household, but she's going above and beyond to maintain this household. What is she doing? Okay, she's making this interesting. She's you know, being creative. She's bringing her food from afar. She's going to great extent to help provide for the family, to make sure that the family is well cared for. This is what this godly woman does, this virtuous woman does. Look at verse 15. You'll love this one, ladies. I'm so glad that I just get to read what God said. Look at verse 15. She riseth while it is yet night. Again, I mean, these whole three verses that we've looked at here coming up are that God's just simply saying this woman knows how to work. Every time I get to this passage, I tell this story. Every time, because it's worth repeating, I tell a story about my grandmother. My grandmother was a virtuous woman. And so I'm the baby of six kids, of the son of a middle child of eight kids. So my grandmother had eight kids, and I don't know how many grandkids. I haven't taken the time to count it up, but there were a slew of us. And so when we got together at Christmas time, we'd all pile into my grandmother's house. Now, we couldn't all sleep there, but a lot of us sleep there. The reason we couldn't sleep there is because it was a bedroom, a living room, a breezeway, a kitchen, and an upstairs, you know, shotgun-type attic that was lined with army cots. They stuck us kids in the army cot. Unless you got really lucky, you got in the feather bed in the breezeway. And they'd pile about five of us in there, and we'd just sleep in the... We thought it was great. Nobody else had a feather bed that we ever knew, and so it was great. But if you got to sleep in the feather bed, that was the benefit was you got to sleep in the feather bed. The negative side was, about 4 o'clock in the morning, you'd hear my grandmother scooching across the kitchen floor. She was about... By then, she was... Well, she died when she was 90, so by the time my memory is, I was 16. So when I'm remembering this, she was probably in her early 80s, right? So here's my grandma. Shh, shh. And she's humming Amazing Grace or Shall We Gather at the River. She would be humming these songs. And you know what she's doing? She's fixing breakfast for about 45 people that are going to be there to eat breakfast. And I mean, we had a full-blown breakfast. Now, here's what you don't know about my grandmother's house. She didn't have running water. She would step outside to the pump and pump the water to do whatever it was she was doing to fix breakfast. And we would all sit down for breakfast about 6:30, 7 o'clock. And by the time breakfast was done and we were clearing, you know, we'd pump the water, heat up the water, wash the dishes. Basically, my grandmother never left the kitchen. This is how we helped celebrate my Christmas with my grandma. She would work herself to the bone so that we could celebrate Christmas with my grandma. And we'd have lunch. And then we'd have supper. And it was great. It really was. But she knew how to work. This is that virtuous woman. She riseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now, here's where it's going to shock you, guys. I can't change what this says. But here's basically what God is saying. Your wife has a brain. And if you have half of one, you're going to let her use it to help your family. Look at what it says. She considereth a field and... How'd you like to come home one night and your wife say, hey, honey, the house on the corner down there went up for sale. I thought it'd be a really good investment, so I went ahead and bought it. How would that make you feel, guys? Would you take that as an affront to your leadership, to your authority? Or would you say, wow, I am so blessed to have a woman who has a business brain, who can actually say, wow, this is a good deal. I better grab it while I can. It's literally what the Bible says. And if you go on to read this next verse, she does something with the field. What does she do? Look what it says. She considers a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She says, that'd be a really good place for a vineyard. You know what? If we put a vineyard there, we could actually begin to sell grapes and stuff, and we could make some extra money for my family. Look at what this woman is doing. And what you don't see is the husband going crazy. Do you see that? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, this husband must not have been an independent fundamental Baptist. Because at this point, we're losing it. You understand? You did what? Can you imagine that conversation in our homes? She considers a field and buys it and carries all the way through to make it into a vineyard so that they can actually run a business. And this is the woman doing this work. You know, the point that God's making is, I've given you someone to help you. And she actually can do more than iron your clothes and cook your dinner. And someplace along the line, us Baptist preachers decided we would back the women into this corner because it made us feel really comfortable. And we limited their ability to serve the family to just a couple of things, right? Cook and clean, have babies, and we're all happy. And that's not what God describes as this virtuous woman. She has a brain. Let her use it. God's given her to your family for your benefit. Let that benefit shine through. And so that's what happens here. So she considers the field and buys it. Look at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. It does not mean she can beat you up or that she can, arm wrestle you. But it does mean, again, that she knows how to take good care of herself so that she can get the job done that needs to be done. Look at verse 18. She perceiveth her merchandise that it is good, and a candle goeth not out by night. Now, listen, let me go through the list again. Hardworking, not demanding, good with money, frugal, cares for her family. You see how this all fits in? My list is exactly what God says. I didn't make the list up on my own. You understand? I read what God says and said, this is what a godly woman looks like. And so she does all of this. Look at verse 19. She layeth her hands. We like this one. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands seweth the distaff. Yes, she can sew. We like this one. Right? Oh, yeah, we can add that to the list. Cook, clean, sew. Okay, we got it. We kind of cherry pick, right? The things that we really like, the things that make us feel comfortable as men. But God is not trying to look out for our delicate egos, guys. He's not. He says to us plainly, this woman, this godly woman, can be a tremendous benefit to your family if you'll let her. She knows how to work. She knows how to find a good bargain. She knows how to do business. This woman is very capable. Remember that God didn't say to the man or to the woman, boy, I need to give you a man so that somebody can take care of you. You're never going to survive. That's not what God said to the man, to the woman. God said to the man, it's not good. This poor guy should be alone. I better give him a helper, right? And he sends a woman, a godly woman, who knows how to be godly. And by the way, she's not demanding of her husband. We already passed that one up. Keep going. Verse 20. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. Remember I said in that list, she cares for her family, but she's also community-minded. This woman cares for other people. She's able to take her care. Sometimes I think that we have drawn such a tight circle around the women in our circles that we've lost the benefit outside of the home. And it's wonderful that this woman can serve our home. That's great. But guys, share her with the community. She has something to offer. Because women have a capacity for compassion that we don't, guys. You know, I often use this as the illustration. You know, we're driving down the road and we see a wounded animal, all right? The wife says, oh, let's take it home and nurse it back to health. The guy says, let's put it out of its misery. Do you understand? We're coming at this from two different directions. And we need that compassion that she has to offer. And the community needs that compassion that she has to offer. Do not restrict her so much that she's not able to be used of God in outreach. So that's what God's showing. She knows how to reach out to other people. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. Basically saying, she's prepared for bad weather. But not just prepared, but what's scarlet? What's unique about scarlet? Okay, we're talking about she's well prepared her family. She's made sure that they have the best that we have, that we can provide. It may not be the best that there is to offer, but the best that we can provide, she's made sure that the family is taken care of. So she's not worried about what might come, the difficult times, the hard times, because she's taken time to prepare the family for those things. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Okay, remember I've said this? In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, it's not the plaiting of the hair, it's not the the adorning of the with jewelry, it is the inward woman, right? I'm paraphrasing. Here, guys will give me an amen on this one. Look what this lady does. She knows how to make herself attractive to her husband. The description that you're being given here is that she's dressing up, okay? That she is taking time to make sure that she is presentable for her husband. This is that virtuous woman. She's so concerned about her family, about everybody else and other people's needs, but she's still caring for herself because she has a relationship with her husband that she wants to maintain. And so she maketh herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. Verse 23, I'm sorry. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now, I want you to hear this. Hear me out. This chapter is about who? A virtuous woman, all right? Now, all of a sudden, we have this verse about the husband. Huh? What? Her husband is known in the gates. So, you must take this in context. Why is her husband known? Because of her. That's exactly right. You walk down the road and somebody says, oh, look, there's Melody's husband. You get the idea? He's known because she is a virtuous, godly woman. And every man in town that does not have that virtuous, godly woman is saying, oh, look, there's that lucky guy. That's Melody's husband. You get the idea? He's known in the gates because of the kind of woman she is. Now that, ladies, that's the godly woman that's being shown. Her husband's known the gates. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it. Wait a minute, what? She does what with it? Now, by my count, this is the second business that this woman has opened in this one chapter, right? She's got a vineyard going over here, and now she's got this business going over here. Man, this woman is, I don't know about you, I'm tired, right? I'm ready to sit down and watch a little television. She is working me to death, this godly, virtuous woman who just seems to be tireless. And I know you ladies are probably thinking, okay, this is an unrealistic goal. Come on, Pastor, let's get real here. This woman is not, she doesn't exist. Like, this is just God giving us the perfect, and she doesn't exist, but she does exist. Some of us are married to them. She does exist. You understand? And so, you know, don't hold her back. Given the opportunity, she has much to offer to your family. So she makes fine linen and sells it. She delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Ladies, hear what it's saying. Yes, I've had to work hard. But strength, spiritual strength, and honor, this is the goal. And it brings about rejoicing. This concept of being a virtuous woman is not intended by God to be a burden. It leads to rejoicing. Now, guys, that's part of our responsibility. If we're forcing some kind of lifestyle on her that has become a burden, maybe we need to rethink. Are we helping her be this virtuous, godly woman that God has called her to be? She is the perfect helpmeet. You realize she was made just for you. She was made to come alongside you. And when God made her, he gave her all of this. It's not just, you know, she doesn't have just one function. Her job, honestly, guys, is not just to sit there and stare at you and affirm everything that you do, whether it's right or wrong. That's not her job. She has much more to offer than just to stroke your ego. She really has a function that would step in and help the family and help the church and help the community. And this is what this woman does, and it's a rejoicing that it brings you, ladies. Verse 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Can I be, I don't want to be mean. I was mean kind of the last time. Remember 1 Peter chapter 1, or 1 Peter chapter 3, I mean, when we were there. How do you win this guy who's being kind of a typical guy and needs to grow up? How do you win him over, ladies? Close your mouth and be sweet. Remember? You're not going to win him by words. Remember, that's what Peter tells us very clearly. Peter says, it's not going to be by your mouth that you're going to win him. You're going to win him by the way you're living. So be quiet and be sweet, right? Because if you nag him, he's not going to respond well. And here in Proverbs, God simply points out the same thing. This godly woman has learned. Of course, Pastor, I love him. So I'm only going to speak words of kindness to him. Or about him to other people. Right? Well, that will be true as we embrace the godliness that God is showing. So this virtuous woman, in her mouth is wisdom, and her tongue only speaks words of kindness. And that's that kind of woman that she is, so the law of kindness. Verse 27, she looketh well to her ways in her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. No kidding. I get to that point, and I'm like, of course. How could you get to this point and say, oh, and by the way, she's a little lazy? No, you couldn't say that at all. This woman hasn't sat down yet. I'm exhausted. But go on. Look at verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. So two things are happening here with the husband, one with the children. Her children, finally, it may take them a while. Hang on. Just be patient. Your kids will work through it, all right? We're going to talk about kids and teenagers starting next week, I think. But we'll start with teenagers and work ourselves down. But they'll finally work through the teen years. And at some point, I promise, ladies, they're going to embrace the idea that, wow, Mom actually loved us and was trying to do what was best for us. You know, right now, that might not be the case. They might think that you're the ogre. But they'll get over that eventually, and they're going to rise up and call you blessed. But it goes on to say two things about the husband. The husband does the same. Her husband also does what? He rises up and calls her blessed. And the husband does a second thing. So what's the difference between calling her blessed and praising her? What's the difference? Say it again. That's exactly right. Calling her blessed is, this is that conversation we're having in our home. This is Mom, Dad, and the kids are all together and coming to the conclusion that we're really blessed to have the kind of mom and wife that God has given us. But praising her is taking it outside the home and lifting her up amongst others to praise her. And guys, if God has been so gracious as to give you a virtuous woman, you had better jump on that bandwagon of calling her blessed and praising her. That, what a blessing it is to our families when that happens. And so her husband also and praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And verse 31 says this, kind of a message really to the husbands. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. The reality of my life is that my wife lives in the background and lets me shine. That's just the reality of my life. She points people toward me. And God has blessed me with a wonderful woman to do that job. And so she doesn't try to steal anything from me. But with that in mind, guys, the real truth is, behind every good man, there is a good woman. And the only reason we are where we are is first the grace of God, and secondly, the grace of God in giving us that woman. Do you understand how this works? So let her works, give her credit for whom credit is due. Let her works praise her.